Good morning, church. This morning, I have been tasked to stand here and not to move down there. So you're not going to see me coming down there. Amen. But it's all good. Hallelujah. I just want you to welcome the brother or sister sitting by you and say, it's good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. Ask someone else, how are you feeling? Amen. And what did they say? Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for an awesome moment like this where we can gather in His presence. The Bible says that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord, impossibilities disappear. Hallelujah. In His presence, everything is possible. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me and raise your right hand even as we share a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. You are good and your mercies endure forever. We thank you for life. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you even for an opportunity like this to gather in your presence. We pray in the name of Jesus that God speak lively words to us this morning. Let your word come forth with power and with strength. Let it come to empower us. Let it come to encourage us. Let us leave this place knowing that we have indeed encountered God. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. And God's people said,
amen.
And God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to be preaching with you, so please make sure anything I say, you respond for me. Amen. Now, this morning, God has tasked me to bring you a message of hope, a message that is going to empower you. And the title is, God is with me, and God is in me. I want you to slam your hand on your chest and say, God is with me, and God is in me. I want you to help me preach it to two people sitting by you and say, God is with me, and God is in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in talking about God being with me and God being in me, my main focus is going to be about relationship, and it's going to be about love. And I want you to pay attention, because if you catch this, it's going to do you a lot of good in your walk with God. Hallelujah. The first thing I want to talk about is that, see, God has a serious interest in man. That if you don't really take time to meditate on it, you may end up trivializing the love that God has for man. Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4 says, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, he says that, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? The psalmist was saying, God, I look at the constellation and the excellency of the work you've done. I mean, see how you've placed the stars, the moon, and everything. They are all in their place. None is falling out of place. You've been able to do all this. What is tiny man out of all your creation that you are so concerned about? If you should give consent to anything, all the expanse you've created, the universe, what is tiny man inside of that creation that you have so much thought about? Keep in mind his love as we go on so that you will understand what I'm saying. God is so mindful of man that when you read Genesis 1 and 2, study about the creation, there's something interesting that you observe in the creation, that when God started creating, after he separated the light from the darkness, the firmament to separate the waters in the heavens from the waters below. Now, when he started creating things, he said, and God spoke to the waters and said, the waters should bring forth all the whales, the creatures that swim in the sea. When God wanted to create the living beings that walk on the earth, the Bible says God spoke to the earth and says that the earth should produce the cattle. The earth should produce all the creeping things that creep on the surface of the earth. Interestingly, when he got to man, the Bible says, and God said, Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. Very interesting. He says that, and God said, let us create, listen to this, and let us make man in our image. When he wanted to make man, he did not talk to the earth. He did not talk to the sea. He talked to himself. Hallelujah. You should understand that your source as a man, as a woman, is God. Amen. And because your source is God, that is why he pays so much attention to you. So when the psalmist is saying, what is man that thou art so mindful of? This is the reason why God was so mindful of you. Because when he was creating you, he had to talk to himself and say that, let us, the Godhead, let us make man in our image. He didn't say, earth, just bring forth man. He said, we are going to make him in our image. Hallelujah. And so then it makes sense that even after the fall, when man fell, God was not ready to give up on man. Hallelujah. When you read Genesis 3 verse 15, God was saying that I am going to put an enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And he was saying that the serpent is going to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. The head of authority. The head always speaks of power. Essentially, what he was saying was that a time was going to come, I will come back and redeem man, and then I'm going to crush this enemy that caused this man. My beloved creature, the zenith of my creative genius, I'm going to come back and save him. Hallelujah. So God had a plan to redeem man back to himself. When you read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says that, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And this is the sign. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And that name means God with us. Hallelujah. So when even man fell, remember that from the beginning, when you read the account of Genesis, you realize that God came to have fellowship with man. Genesis 2 is actually interesting. The Bible says God will create this and show it to Adam, and Adam will name it. So there was that relationship, fellowship that was happening in there. The devil was thinking that by causing man to fall, that was the end. But he didn't know that God had a greater plan. He said that I was going to come back in the form of sinful flesh and I'll redeem man from his sin. God coming back to dwell with us. Amen. If you understand this thing, it's going to help you a lot. So in Matthew 1, verse 20 and 23, he says that, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. That is Joseph in a dream. And he said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Listen to what he said. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So God came down and he felt all our pain. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And in the end, he died for man. Hallelujah. So that you and I can be perpetually reconciled back to him. So that it's not going to be that I can have a fellowship with him today and tomorrow I cannot. He came himself to pay for our sins. The Bible says that the wages of sin is what? So essentially, you and I were supposed to die. But the good thing is that he came and he paid for you and I. It's like God himself being a judge and you being his son. And you come and stand in front of his court. And he says that, based on all that you have done and per the law, I sentence you to pay a fine of 10,000 euros. After saying that, he puts off his robe as a judge and comes to stand by you and say, because he's my son, here's the 10,000 euros. I pay it, and he's free to go. Essentially, that is what God has done for you and I, so that now we can be with him. We can constantly be with him, so that it's not like we don't know what we are doing. Amen. I want to read a scripture to you. Listen to this scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 21 and 23. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. He says that the people of Israel, the people of God, the Bible is saying he brought them out of Israel, out of Egypt, sorry, so that he will bring them in. It is the same thing God has done for you and I. He has brought us out of darkness. He has brought us out of sin so that he can bring us in into his kingdom of light. Hallelujah. So that now you are with God. Amen. So that when you say that God is with me, you don't say it just as a cliche. You have that understanding that because I am born again, this is what has happened to me. I have been translated from death into life so that now I am constantly with God. Amen. That should be your assurance when you walk about in life. When things don't go the way that you expect them to go, always understand that you are with God. And if you are with God, I was really excited when Pastor came this morning and then he started reading Romans. I was like, yes, it is the same spirit at work. Hallelujah. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? And he says that all things work together for good to them. Where are my Bible scholars? Hallelujah. Amen. All things work together for good. Hallelujah. He didn't say some things. Amen. So if you're going through things in life and you realize that it's not going according to plan, have this assurance that all things work together for them that are with the Lord. Because now God is for you and you are with God. Amen. Amen. And it's beautiful that now he's not ashamed to call us his own. Hallelujah. If you read Revelation and you read Genesis, you see there is something beautiful about God where he says that he declares the end from the beginning. One secret about God, anytime you are reading something about God, if you are looking for the end, always look at what he has said at the beginning. Amen. Because when he's talking about the beginning, he's also talking about the end. In Isaiah, he says that I am the Lord and I declare the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. When you read Genesis 1 and 2, and you read the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, you will see a parallel and a similarity happening. In Genesis 1 and 2, God is creating an earth with heaven, and he's creating man and having relationship with him. In Revelation 21 and 22, God is actually bringing down a new city, a new Jerusalem, where it is he and his people, and he is God reigning in that city. He says a new heaven and a new earth God is creating. So it is the same thing God is doing. His desire is that he wants to dwell with you and I. Amen. I mean, think about it. Anytime I think about this thing, my head is blown away, because the Bible says that even the heavens of the heavens cannot contain God. But he desires to dwell with you and I. So then when the psalmist was saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Then it will begin to make sense that there is something about man that God is interested in that maybe we ourselves, we don't really understand. Because the whole heaven, with his throne and glory and everything, the Bible is even saying it can't contain him and he wants to dwell with you. That is amazing. If you understand this, when you go through life and you meet some challenges, you will not be moved and you will not be shaken. Hallelujah. Because the Almighty himself desires to dwell with you. Amen. And the interesting thing is he's not only desiring to dwell just with you, he also wants to dwell in you. So that when you got born again, the Bible says that he gave his spirit inside of us as a seal, as a down payment, as a proof that you and I, we are his. Amen. Is it not interesting? Understand that he didn't give you a fragment of his spirit or a lower grade or an inferior grade of his spirit. He gave you his spirit, amen, to come and dwell inside of you. So understand that you sitting there, you have God residing inside of you. I hope you'll be able to understand this. You have God residing inside of you as you sit here. Hallelujah. If you understand this, there is no challenge in this life that will be able to sway you away from God. You see, now we have a lot of Christians who come to church and it's like, God, I want you to do this for me. If you don't do it and I'm not seeing results, I'm gone. Because they've not come to that place where they realize that this thing is a love affair. It's a relationship God wants to have with you and I. And because he's residing inside of you, there is no power on this earth, under the earth, in the heavens, that will be able to stand against you. Amen. 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 So God's desire is that he wants to dwell with you. Amen. Now, what is the characteristics or the features of God with me and God in me? What is the proof? How do we see it? If someone says that God is with me and God is in me, we want to use the life of Joseph briefly as a character study. We're actually now starting the preaching. What we did was all the introduction. So we are now starting the preaching proper. Amen. But I'll finish in no time. I'm just going to hit it quickly and then we'll be out of here. So please don't be checking your time on me. Amen. Amen. I want to feel you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now let me give you a quick background about this amazing man of God called Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son of the servant of God called Jacob or Israel. Now the Bible says that Jacob loved that man, his son Joseph. He actually had him in his very old age. When you actually look at the data the Bible provides and you do the subtractions, you realize that he gave birth to him around 91 years when Israel was 91 years. So he really loved him. Like, he was more like his grandson, basically. So he was always excited with him. Amen. But Joseph was an amazing son. If you read Genesis 37, when he was 17 years, he went to mind the flock, his father's flock, with his brothers. And the Bible says he will always come back and give a report to his dad about the evil deeds of his brothers. Amen. So they will go do everything they have to do, but when the brothers mess up, he will come back and come and give a report. So the brothers didn't like him. And he was also a dreamer. And he had two amazing dreams. One, they were gathering bundles of wheat. And he told his brothers and said, look, I had this amazing dream where all of us were gathering wheat, and I saw all your wheat bowing to my wheat. And they were like, what is this guy trying to say? You, this young fella, you're trying to tell us we're going to bow to you. No, it's not going to happen. So the Bible said they hated him the more. And when you read the scripture, go to Genesis 37. When you read, the Bible says that they hated him to the point where they could not even speak with him peaceably. Your own brother, when you get to a point where you can't even have like a normal discourse with him, even if you try to talk to him, you just want to kill him. That is the level they had gotten to with their brother. And he also had a second dream. Instead of shutting up, he went to tell them again to say, look, I have had another dream. This time around, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were all bowing to me. And his dad was like, what? So it's not only your brothers now. Myself and your mother are also going to come and bow to you. What are you saying? I mean, after having all these kind of dreams, if you were Joseph, and as a matter of fact, when you read ahead, go and read Genesis 45, you understand that the Bible actually says that he had the Spirit of God. So he was a righteous man and everything. So in a sense, it was God that was leading him and God that was directing him. But through all this, there was a time that his brothers went to feed his father's flock. They moved up north from where they were to Shechem to go and feed the flock. And this happened. The father sent Joseph, I want you to go and check on your brothers. And being an obedient, righteous son, he said, yes, dad. And he went. And his brothers saw him coming from afar and they were like, ah, that guy. Let us deal with this guy and let's see what will happen to his dreams. So innocently, he was just approaching his brothers, but they were also plotting and planning against him. And the interesting thing, when you go to Genesis 39, now, let us go into the word of God. Listen to what the Bible says from Genesis 39, from verse 1. It says that, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt because his brothers in 37 sold him. After putting him in a pit, they sold him to some Ishmaelites who were on their way to Egypt to go and trade. So the Bible says that when they sold him, they brought him down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, who was an Egyptian, he bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that
the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Take note of that as well. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hands. Verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now jump to 20. The Bible says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. In the middle, when you read, you realize that Potiphar's wife saw this young man and he was like, this is a nice boy I want to have to myself. And the Bible says that day after that day, he was pressing this young man to sleep with him. And he refused. And it got to a point where he attacked this boy, and then this boy ran away. So he told the husband that, look, this boy, this Hebrew boy you brought in as a slave came to disrespect us. And this man wouldn't hear Joseph's part of the story. Just grabbed him, put him into prison. Now listen to what happened in the prison. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Verse 21, this is good. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Amen. Now, let's pick a couple of lessons from this passage that we just read, because we'll be able to identify characters that represent God is with me and God is in me. If you have God with you and God is in you, some of the characteristics we can see. The first thing we see is that if God is with you, it becomes obvious for men to see. Hallelujah. If God is for you, it is obvious for men to see. Genesis 39, verse 3, the Bible says that, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Understand that this master was not a believer. He was not a Hebrew that knew the God of Israel. But the Bible says that he saw. He saw that, no, this young guy, there's something unique about him. There is something different about him. Beloved, if God is with you, the world will see. If the Lord is with you and the world is not seeing, please check yourself. If you proclaim that God is with me, trust me, the world must see. Amen. Light and darkness, they have nothing to do together. Amen. And wherever light goes to, it dispels darkness. So if truly you are the light of this world and God is with you and God is in you, wherever you get to, people must see. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The next thing we want to learn from this is that if God is with you, you attract favor. Hallelujah. I pray that God will favor somebody this morning before we leave this place in the name of Jesus. Genesis 39, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says that, and Joseph found grace or found favor in the sight of his master, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Jump to verse 21 and 22. Look at this too. He says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Hallelujah. Look, if God is with you, his favor will follow you. If God is with you, it doesn't matter where we put you. We can put you in a pit. His favor will chase you there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So one of the things that must distinguish our lives from the world is the favor of God that is at work inside of our lives. Amen. One beautiful thing about favor is that favor adds flavor to your life. Amen. You don't deserve it anyway, but the favor of God will say, yes, I'll give it to him. Amen. And that is what happened with Joseph. I mean, it's interesting. You just get into the prison, and all of a sudden, you are made
to be the keeper over all the rest of the prisoners. You get into Potiphar's house, and straight away, you become an overseer in the house. The question I ask myself is, before he got into those two places, were there not people who were there trying to please their masters? Were there not people who were there busily serving, saying, look, I want to be in the good books of my master? And how come he was able to overtake all of them? That was the favor of God at work. Amen. This morning, I pray for someone that even as you go through the week, the favor of God will go with you. You will experience the favor of God even as you go through your week in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 1 verse 28, the Bible says that, and the angel came in unto Mary and said unto her, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Amen. So if God is with you and God is in you, his favor will also follow you. Amen. Amen. The next thing we learn from this, which is actually interesting, and which is one of the things I want you to take away today. The Lord was with Joseph, yet he went through pain. I mean, he was a man that was, the Bible says he had the Spirit of God, but he went through pain. His brother sold him into slavery. And it didn't even just end there. He went into slavery, and from there, he was wrongly accused and put into prison. A man of God who was walking upright with God and had God's favor with him. Beloved, I want you to understand that sometimes when you see a believer going through challenges, going through difficult times, sometimes it is not because God is punishing the person. Sometimes the world is quick to judge and say, oh, this person says he's a Christian, he's going through this. Probably he's done something and God's judgment has come upon him. Remember what they did to Job. His friends were like, look, you can say whatever you want to say, but we all know that you have done something against God. That is why he's bringing this punishment on you. And to even add salt to injury, his wife, who was supposed to stand by him, came and said, look, curse God and die. Because he thought at this stage, it was God that was inflicting him with all this pain. So just curse him and get out of here. Beloved, understand that the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You may be going through some things and you don't understand and you feel like, what is happening? God sent me here with a message of hope for you this morning that you may not understand it, but God says that he's going to work it all for your good. Amen. He says that when you go through the waters, he didn't say if, he said when. When you go through the waters, he said, I will be with you. He didn't say, I'll come and take you out of the water. He said, I will be with you through the water. When you go through the fires, I will be with you through the fires. Beloved, when you go through some tough times in life, just pray for the grace of God to understand what God is doing with your life. Don't just be saying, I just want out. Just pray and say, God, what is happening? If it is your will for my life, if it is going to lead me to your promised land, then I yield myself. If only Joseph knew that the path to governorship lied through slavery and through prison. If God showed it to him from the beginning, probably he would have said, God, you take your governorship. I'm happy with my dad. I'll stay here. I'm not going anywhere. Amen. Sometimes we go through things that we don't understand. Sometimes we experience things and we are like, where is God in all this? Beloved, God sent me here this morning to tell you that in all that you're going through, he sees it. In everything that you're going through, he's working out a way that will bring your glory. Amen. Amen. So don't give up and don't give up hope. Don't give up on God. Amen. When you go through things like that, too, don't be looking for an escape route. Joseph was presented with a nice escape route of Potiphar's wife to say, look, just sleep with me. And if you do this thing, probably Potiphar's wife was probably going to put in a word or two with the husband and say, look, this young man from today, he's no longer a slave. Let him become part of the family or something. Because then if you want him to continue doing what you want him to do with you, then you also have to speak favorably in front of your husband for him. But that would have been a stop to the plan of God for his life. Amen. God was looking to bring him to the throne. And God was not looking for him to help God bring him to the throne. Beloved, where God is taking you, all he needs from you is your yieldedness to take you to where he's taking you. Amen. So that sometimes when you go through things and people are suggesting things that are contrary to the word of God, Please don't listen to them. You cannot help God. Amen. Just yield yourself and let God help you. Amen. The last thing we learn from this is that the Lord with you makes you excellent in all your endeavors. Amen. This is the last thing and we are done. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Joseph served his master. He served the prisoner. When you read Genesis 45, I actually didn't put it there, but when you read Genesis 45, it tells you that because he had the Spirit of God, which is an excellent spirit, he was able to serve and serve well. Amen. So everything that was in his hand prospered. Beloved, if God is with you and God is inside of you, the Bible says that you have that spirit from him. He said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love. Some versions say of sound mind. Some versions say of sound judgment. Some versions say of personal discipline, so that you'll be able to work and work effectively. I was telling our young adults last Friday that the Holy Spirit we've received from God is not only to help you walk with God, but it's also he's also supposed to help you be diligent and excellent in every single thing that you do. Amen. He is the one that can help you to be able to maintain the discipline and do things and do them well. Amen. So Joseph did things that his masters were seeing results. They knew that this was an excellent work. Nobody will hand over their possession, everything they owe to you, and say, rule over it when you are not doing it better than they themselves can do. I mean, if I have a business and I want Prince to now come and run the business for me, probably I've seen something good in him that he can do it better than myself. Amen. And that is one of the things that the Spirit of God inside of you, God being with you, does for you, because God himself is an excellent God and he's an efficient God. So God with you must make you efficient. In your workplace, people must see a difference. When you do your work and people do theirs, we should be able to see a difference. Amen. Amen. I pray that God will help us with this message we have heard today. And going forward, we'll understand that God is mindful of us. And God cares for us. So that he wants to dwell with us and he is in us. So that we can go out there and be the difference that he wants us to be. I want you to close your eyes. Even as we pray this prayer and bring the sermon to an end, I just want you to pray for yourself briefly. Just pray and say that, God, help me. I want to be able to walk daily with this understanding that God is inside of me. The King of Kings himself is residing inside of my being, so that I will be careful the way I live. I'll be careful the way I talk. I'll be careful the way I live my life, knowing that God is residing inside of me. So I cannot do things the way I want, but I must do things to please him. Just pray for yourself. Pray for grace. He said we should come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Pray and say that, God, help me. Help me. Help me to walk daily with this consciousness that the King of Kings is residing inside of me. When I walk out of my room every day and I go to college, when I go to my workplace, I am walking and going there with God. When I come back with God. Pray and say that, God, help me to keep this consciousness with me every single day, in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Our Father, we thank you today. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for your word that is living and powerful. I pray in the name of Jesus that, God, help us to be able to hold this consciousness that you are with us. Emmanuel, you are with us, and you are also residing inside of us. Let this stir us up and cause a revival in our hearts to live to please you every day, knowing that you are residing inside of our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your presence in this place. Thank you for your word that you have given us today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And God's people said,
okay, now we're going to have the baptism. So are the candidates